Today we are really very fortunate to have Her Grace Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji to enlighten us on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 22, Verse 97 onwards. Hare Krishna Mataji, are you on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Yes, I am on the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Dandavat Pranams. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for giving us your valuable time and association this morning to enlighten us on this topic. So I would like to now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All glories to assembled devotees, and thank you very much. We will start with the pranam mantras. If I speak too fast or I am inaudible in any way, please do stop me and I will try to either get louder or get clearer or slower. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Badam Sri Sagana Lalita Sri Visakan Vitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrushabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpata Rubhyasya Krupa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Jayapataka Swami Niti Namine Namo Vishnu Namo Acharya Padaya Nitaya Krupaya Budayane Gaurkata Dhamadaya Nagra Gramatarine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham karoti vachalam bhangum langayate girim yat krupatam aham vande shri gurunti natarinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya nishwaram om tat sat. Thank you everybody for joining us today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. It's always a two-pronged effect. At one side, it's anxiety because we want to be able to give some little light and maybe show some light or some experiential knowledge maybe or somehow purvey the understanding of Krishna consciousness and trying to convey the essence of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, Lord Chaitanya's teachings explained by Srila Prabhupada. And at the other, on the other side is we're anxiety because we're always thinking, oh, can I do this? And then excitement at being able to actually read and analyze and delve into the ocean of mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the verses we are chanting today are from the Madhya Leela of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service. And today we'll do two verses, 97 and 98. Vijnana janare hayayadi Krishna guna jnana Anyatyaji bhaje tate Uddhava pramana. Translation. Whenever an experienced person develops real knowledge of Krishna and his transcendental qualities, he naturally gives up all other engagements and renders service to the Lord. Uddhava gives evidence concerning this. Text 98. Aho bakiyam sanakalakutam मृश्चिकां सयापाययदप्यसाध्वि लेभे गतिं धात्सुचितां ततोऽन्यं कं वा दयालुं शरणं व्रजेम.
Translation. Actually, we'll do word for word in this. Aho, how wonderful. Baki, Putana, the sister of Bakasura. Yam, whom, Stana, on the two breasts. Kalakutam, the deadly poison. Jigamsaya, with a desire to kill. Apayayat, forced to drink. Api, although. Asadvi, dangerous, inimical, dangerously inimical to Krishna. Lebhe, achieved. Gatim, the destination. Dhatri, for a nurse. Uchitam, suitable. Tataha, then him. Anyam, other. Come, to whom? Va, or. Dayalum, the most merciful. Saranam, shelter. Vrajema, shall take. Translation. Oh, how wonderful it is. Putana, the sister of Bagasura, wanting to kill Krishna by smearing deadly poison on her breath and having Krishna take it. Nonetheless, Lord Krishna accepted her as his mother, and thus she attained the destination befitting Krishna's mother. Of whom shall I should I take shelter but Krishna, who is most merciful? So this verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Verse 23. This is actually one of my favorite verses. And when I, you know, when Preeti Vilasini Mataji asked me to give class, and I was thinking, oh, no, I don't know. But when I saw the verse, I was like, oh, yes. Krishna is truly merciful. This is one of my favorite verses. And you know, I want to first, well, let's, last week when Adi Gadadhar Prabhu was giving class, he spoke about the specialty of Krishna Leela. And the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that he was explained that we get philosophy as well as rasa. And as we meditate on this pastime of the Lord, this point in, actually, let me back up a little bit. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's explaining Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining devotional service to Sanatana Goswami, and he's quoting this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So to get an idea of this mood of this verse, I want to go back to the purport. Go back to the verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam and discuss a little about that. I want us to see if we can get a minute taste of the sweetness of this rasa. Because in this verse, if we come back and look at the context of this verse, we actually can see how a pure devotee experiences this rasa, experiences this sweetness. And Kishandas Kaviraj writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, in Adi Lila 1295, he said, it is not possible to dip into that great ocean, but its sweet mellow fragrances attracts my mind. I therefore stand on the shore of that ocean to try and taste but a drop of it. So I'm hoping that by looking back at Uddhava and his mood as he was meditating about this, about the Lord, about this pastime, that we can also maybe taste a little drop. Maybe not even a drop, but 1/10,000th is the size of a drop, that we can also feel that sweetness. So the two themes that I actually want to discuss about this is two different things. One is the mood of the pure devotee and the sweetness of that rasa that he tastes as he meditates upon the Lord and meditates about the pastimes of the Lord. And the second is the extreme mercy of the Supreme Lord that's exhibited by this pastime of Putana. So to give us a little bit of context about what's happening in Srimad Bhagavatam at this time. So Vidura has been advising Dhritarashtra. In the process, he's trying to lead him into giving up association of his son and attaching himself to the Lord's lotus feet. And Dhritarashtra is not listening. On top of that, Duryodhana insults Vidura, insults him and says, you are a spy of the enemy. Get out of my house. You know, we don't want you here. And, you know, up to this point, Vidura has for many, 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 many days tried to be there to guide Dhritarashtra. But at this, he said, okay, enough is enough. And he says, you know, I'm leaving. He leaves his bow and arrow at the door, and he leaves. He leaves the palace of the gurus. And he, you know, interesting, Prabhupada writes in the purport that it's, he understands that it is an act of the Lord's Maya. And Prabhupada describes it as Lord's Yoga Maya. And the Yoga Maya is, he feels it is giving him the opportunity to detach and actually cover this insult, create this insult in a sense, or create this situation so that he leaves. And he leaves. And he leaves and he travels all over to all the holy places. He does, at this, as he's traveling, the whole Kurukshetra war goes on. Everybody's died. Everything happens. And also, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sweet Lord, has also, his disappearance has also happened. He has returned to the spiritual world. And so he, as he's traveling, he meets Uddhava on the banks of the Yamuna. And so Vidura inquires about his family members. How is everybody? Where is everybody? How is everybody doing? He actually asks each person. And then he asks it, how are our lordships, Lord Brahma, Lord Balaram, and Sri Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna? And he's immediately eager to hear about the pastimes or the Krishna Katha. He wants to know, where is Krishna? What's Krishna doing? What's happening? Now, he actually knows that the Lord has disappeared. But he still wants to know, tell me what happened, Krishna Katha. So, so Vidura asks this question. And Uddhava, this beautiful verse comes to mind when I think about this. Madchitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is this mood of these two devotees, Uddhava and Vidura. So Vidura wants to know, now, Uddhava actually comes upon the Lord as he is about to disappear, and there is a discussion between Uddhava and the Lord. And so, you know, Uddhava is in that mood of thinking of the Lord. And it says, it gives this conversation that they have when Vidura asks him, how is the Lord? This conversation is an exquisite example of the absorption of the Lord, absorption in the Lord by the pure devotee. And so Radhana Swami says, when two great sincere devotees come together, the auspicious topics of the Supreme Lord are shared among them. So the devotees, you know, as this verse says, Madchitta Madgata Prana, they derive great joy in describing the wonderful character, qualities, and pastimes and names of the Lord. And so this is what they do. So Uddhava first starts describing about, now Prabhupada explains in the purports here that Uddhava is a pure devotee. He is a Nitya Siddha, and he's always worshiping the Lord. He's always meditating upon the Lord. And actually it describes, in the beginning of this chapter in the canto, it describes how Uddhava is constantly, even as a child, he's constantly meditating and worshiping on the Lord. He has little Krishna dolls that he's dressing and worshiping and doing offering to. And even when his mother would call him for breakfast, he wouldn't come. He was so attached, so attached to his service that he was just completely immersed in that service. You know, a sidebar here, just a thought that came to mind. I remember in Bhakti, Charu Swami was giving a class one day, and I had asked him, he was speaking about how Srila Prabhupada was given deities as a child, and that he would, you know, worship them and do radhyatra and this. And so I was saying that, you know, many times that, you know, in our tradition we don't think it's appropriate to give deities to children, and you know, can we do that? And Chaitanya Bhaktacharya Maharaj was saying that if we want children to be like Srila Prabhupada, yes. And so I was just reminded of this when I was thinking of Uddhava. See, Uddhava too. So this mood of worshiping came from a child, from childhood. And Prabhupada explains that even as he got older, it's not like there was retirement now. Okay, I've done my devotion, I've done my quote-unquote job, my duty, I'm done now and I'm going to retire and do nothing or whatever. No, it has only increased and matured. And this service attitude, Prabhupada says that it's on the transcendental plane. And so as soon as his service attitude matured so much on the transcendental plane that as he was questioned by Vidura about Lord Krishna, he immediately remembered the Lord, and he immediately remembered all the past time, all of his association with the Lord. Everything about the Lord came to his will. And he completely forgot himself. So, you know, this attitude of this service attitude towards Krishna is an attitude of the soul, and it increases even though the body becomes old. So it's not, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, it's an instinct, it's a natural inclination, Srila Prabhupada, a natural inclination of the soul. So, and as somebody who has matured in this Krishna consciousness, the minute that the Lord is mentioned, immediately his mind goes back to the pastimes of the Lord. His mind goes back to the Lord, his beautiful form, his favorite pastime, and his favorite nama, or his favorite rupa, you know, name or form of the Lord that he loves. So this is what happened to Uddhava. So so he goes in and he starts explaining about all the, in a sense, the philosophical aspects of Krishna consciousness. That's how he starts it. So we have this, the beauty of Prabhupada. He gives us both the philosophy and he gives us the rasa, or the sweetness. You know, I really, really liked Radhika Gadadhar Prabhu because I could see this as I was reading these verses again and again. So what happens to him? So as he thinks about these, and then the minute Vidura asked, how is the Lord, he was dead silent. Uddhava was silent. And he exhibited these eight kinds of ecstasy. So for a moment he remained silent and his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy, and he appeared to be going increasingly deeper into that ecstasy. Translation of verse 4 of that second chapter, third canto. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, there are eight kinds of transcendental changes in the body. Tears, shivering of the body, perspiration, restlessness, throbbing, choking of the throat, etc. And all were manifested by Uddhava in the presence of Vidura. So this is what Vidura is seeing. And, you know, there was one, I was trying to remember, I know there are remembrances of different people who say that Srila Prabhupada, sometimes when he's chanting, that this is what happens. And Prabhupada says that he actually was in such transcendental love, he actually forgot the external world. He forgot the external world, and he actually went. He went to the abode of the Lord. And he writes in the purport, the pure devotee lives constantly in the abode of the Supreme Lord, even in the present body, which apparently belongs to this world. The pure devotee is not exactly on the bodily plane, since he is absorbed in the transcendental thought of the Lord. When Uddhava wanted to speak to Vidura, he came down from the abode of the Lord, Dwaraka, to the material plane of human beings. Even though a pure devotee is present on this mortal plane, he is here in relation to the Lord for engagement in transcendental loving service and not for any material cause. A living entity can live either on the material plane or in the transcendental abode of the Lord in accordance with his existential condition. So, reference to this, actually, a devotee once asked Srila Prabhupada the question. He says, you told us that wherever Krishna is, that is Vrindavana. What I was wondering is, if Krishna is present within our hearts, does that mean that within our hearts is Prabhupada? Yes. One who has realized he is living in Vrindavana anywhere. A realized soul is always living in Vrindavana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, one who has realized Krishna, then he's always living in Vrindavana. Just like Krishna or Vishnu is living in everyone's heart, but he is living in that dog's heart also. Does it mean that he's doggish? He's living in Vaikuntha, although he's living in the dog's heart, but he's living in Vaikuntha. Similarly, a devotee may seem to be living in some place which is far from Vrindavana, but he's living in Vrindavana. That's a fact, yes. So this is exemplified by Uddhava as he was speaking about the Lord, as he was thinking about the Lord. He actually went to the abode of the Lord. Here it said he went to Dvaraka. He is a Nitya Siddha, pure devotee. And it actually explains in the previous chapter, in the first canto, when Uddhava is there during the disappearance of the Lord, where the Lord actually tells him, this is your last birth, you are going to go to the spiritual kingdom. You are Nitya Siddha. So he has come to participate in the pastimes of the Lord, as many of the other family members have. They are, some of them are pure devotees, some of them are Nitya Siddha, some of them but all of them different ranges, but they have come to assist the Lord. Some are demigods, some are sages, etc. So they have come to assist the Lord. So in this way, Uddhava is a Nitya Siddha who's come to assist the Lord. And the Lord tells him, I know what your heart's desire is. You know, you're going to be with me. So it's just so sweet. That is just so sweet. There's so much sweetness that I had to, you know, it took me a while to think, what do I want to focus on? I thought, okay, Uddhava's sweetness. Because this is, like I said, it's one of the most beautiful, beautiful essences of this this verse, the background of this verse. One more thing I want to give a pastime that was exhibited by somebody, and this is from The Great Transcendental Adventure by His Grace Kurma Prabhu. It didn't happen often, but sometimes Srila Prabhupada was overcome by ecstatic emotions while lecturing. It had happened in a San Francisco storefront in the early days when Prabhupada is describing Lord Chaitanya's mood of separation from Krishna. It also happened in Gorakhpur, India, where Prabhupada was seated before the deities of Radha Madhava discussing Krishna's pastimes. Now it happened in the tiny temple room in Sydney before the deities of Radha Gopinath. Not long into the lecture, Prabhupada, while speaking about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, was unable to continue speaking. He paused as if stunned, and a very perceivable change in his consciousness took place. Then trying, as he did with great effort, to restrain himself, he shed tears visibly before the silent temple room. After a few moments, he gathered his emotions and said, thank you very much, thus ending the class. The kirtana began, and Srila Prabhupada quickly left the temple and returned to his house. So, you know, we may wonder, why did not Srila Prabhupada, you know, exhibit this? Why didn't he just let forth? Why didn't he? You know, so Srila Prabhupada explains that this is not something that should be exhibited. But these two pure devotees, Vidura and Uddhava, are alone, and they're both pure devotees, and they are able to experience it. And Uddhava also, Vidura could notice it, just like Kurma Prabhu could notice it. So it's a noticeable change Vidura noticed. But Uddhava came back, you know, as Prabhupada has come back, you know, to continue the class or, you know, finish the class, whatever. And here, you know, Uddhava came back to answer those questions of Vidura. And so what was he thinking about? You know, has he come? What is this verse, Ahobakiyam? And I'll read that verse one more time. I know, I just love this verse, I say that. you know, Aho Bakiyam Sanakala Kutam Sigam Sayapaya Yadapyasati Lebhe Gatim Dhasuchitam Tatonyam Kambadayalum Saranam Vrajema. Oh, how wonderful it is. Putana, the sister of Bakasura, wanted to kill Krishna by smearing deadly poison on her breast and having Krishna take it. Nonetheless, Lord Krishna accepted her as his mother, and thus she attained the destination befitting Krishna's mother. Of whom should I take shelter but Krishna, who is most merciful? So this first. And so, you know, first we spoke about the mood of that devotee, the mood of the devotee who actually, there's one more part in there that I want to talk about this. He says, okay, so I actually mentioned that, so that's okay. So this verse, this pastime actually of Putana exemplifies the extreme mercy of the Lord. The extreme mercy of the Lord to not just his devotees, but even to those who are not his devotee. So this pastime, this happens, this is Putana. So Putana, the sister of Bakasura, she's actually let me see where I wrote this. Mercy of the Lord. So the Lord is a child, you know, as we know, Kamsa has realized he doesn't know where Krishna is. So he tells Putana has given a particular service by Kamsa. And her duty is to go all over Mathura Vrindavan. And she's supposed to kill all the children. So how does she do this? She smears deadly poison on her breast and she suckles them. In other words, she's breastfeeding the babies. So you can imagine what the mood is of this evil woman. Many of us cannot even, you know, have any conception of how she could do this, but this is what she's an evil witch. So she comes to Vrindavana, and she's a beautiful form. She looks very, very nice, very nicely decorated, and the people are immediately attracted to her. She has this special siddhi that she can actually become whatever she wants, although she's a witch in form, a rakshasi, huge, you know, very, very ugly looking. She can change her form. So she changes into a beautiful maidservant. The gopi likes. And she goes around, and she's eating, and she sees Krishna. And Krishna is pretending to be an innocent child. And and she, interesting love, is pretending to be she's pretending to be in the mood of a mother, of a nursemaid, of a loving mother. And she takes the Supreme Lord. She takes the Supreme Lord and she puts him on her lap. She first is thinking he's very, very attractive. She's thinking maybe he's the Supreme Lord. But, you know, her mind, her heart is filled with this envy and this such animosity, you know, that she, you know, what kind of evil you must have, darkness you must have in your heart to actually be able to kill a newborn, you know, a very, very baby like this. So we can imagine what she's like. So this is what her mood is. But so even though she has placed on this most evil deadly poison on her breast, and she puts she takes Krishna on her lap and she starts suckling him, and Krishna, being very merciful to everybody, this is, you know, Radhana Swami explains in his class. He says, you know, Krishna is merciful, you know, is merciful to everybody because he's equal to everyone. I have no envy. And as you approach me, I will approach you. It's that verse from the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna very lovingly began to suck on her breast. And as he sucked on her breast, a wonderful thing happened. Radhana Swami explains. He drank her milk, and then he drank the poison. So that's interesting to note that. You know, I was never thinking about this. I was just thinking that it was poison and he got poison. That was, but I'm not sorry. He did drink her milk and then he drank the poison. And then And he actually closed his eyes, it says. He actually closed his eyes. And some people say, and sometimes the acharyas say, His Grace, His Holiness Radha Swami explains that some of the acharyas say that he closed his eyes because first she was a woman, and it's not, it's considered against Sastra to kill a woman. Or sometimes he says it's because that she was the first demon, that, you know, so she is the first demon. She is the first that he inaugurates his purification of the of Bhudevi by killing Putana, you know, so that's what he calls. And not only did he drink her milk and drink the poison, and then he began to drink her very life force from her body. And he explains that as he was dragging her life force, she was inflicted with so much pain and suffering and fear. And it was actually a terrible type of purification she was going through, he says. So this was quite like an amazing understanding to get from this. So, and then what Dava is remembering, that, and you know, and it explained that although she had so much animosity, envy, anger in her, just because she had that little bit of, you know, mother pretense, he says, pretense of being a mother, just that little thing, the Lord being so merciful, that is what he zoned in on. That's what he pinpointed. And he took that and he expanded that under, you know, that feeling. He forgot everything else. He purified her and he forgot all that animosity she had. And he just took that motherly instinct, whether you want to say, or that motherly wasn't even an instinct, because she didn't have the instinct, but that motherly duty that she was doing, you know, feeding, and he purified her, and he gave her, what did he give her? He gave her the role of his mother in Goloka Vrindavan. So he gave her that. He sent her back to the spiritual world to be the personal assistant of Mother Yasoda nursing Krishna. That is the role he's given her. So she achieved this liberation that, you know, so many people are trying to strive for. You know, and all the other demons that he killed, they all got impersonal realization, impersonal liberation. Putana got the role of a mother, of a nursemaid in Goloka Vrindavan, assisting Mother Yasoda. So, you know, this mood of taking these smallest good quality in a devotee and magnifying, or in a devotee or non-devotee. You know, so many times, you know, in putting context, you know, just many times we might come, many times it's explained, you know, they're given the example, Prabhupada gives the analogy of how the honeybee looks for the nectar and the flies look for the sore, you know. So we need to be that honeybee. We need to look for that nectar. We need to see that little spark of goodness, whatever it may be, not in just in devotees, but in every single solitary person that we see, we need to see that and see that little spark. And it's wonderful because that's what the guru, what our guru vargas all do. It's amazing when I see these different, our different gurus, how each one of us sees the good, whether it be Radhana Swami, Jayavataka Swami, Bhaktarusha Swami, you see all these people, they see that one little speck of whiteness on that darkness, that dark heart, and they bring it out, and they polish it, and they, you know, make it so that it becomes more prominent. And what does this do? This encourages the devotee to strive more and more, because if you just focus on the negative, and, you know, we're all talking, even with children, they always say focus on the positive, focus on the positive. So if we just think about this when we're dealing with devotees, you know, I mean, especially if you think about in the association of devotees, we can actually discuss about the beautiful pastimes of the Lord and how much bliss that gives us. I was explaining to my husband yesterday. I said, you know what it's like? I said, when I read something like this, it's like, you know, we're eating guava, and I said, you know how you were telling me that, oh, Pani, you should eat this guava. It's really, really good. And I'm like, I'm not a real guava person. And he's like, no. Just taste it. So good. And then I taste it. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's good. And I said, you know that feeling you got when I tasted it and I said it was good? And I said, you know, it's like that. you feel more ecstatic when you see somebody else getting that feeling. And they're like, yeah, and you're like, you know what? That's exactly what this mood is of these devotees. It's not that they're just getting this transcendental ecstasy. It's when they're sharing and they see the ecstasy of the other person, it also starts making them more ecstatic. And it reminds me of when Srila Prabhupada, I think it's Srila Prabhupada, was explaining how, and I know my Guru Maharaj was explaining this, that when the devotees please, that when the gopis are serving Krishna and pleasing him, he becomes ecstatic. But then when he serves them, he gets ecstatic. And it goes back and forth, back, and it keeps increasing that ecstasy just by seeing the other person's ecstasy. It just increases and increases. So it's like that, this mood that in this association of devotees, that we can keep increasing that sweetness, that increasing that rasa that we get when we're listening to the pastimes of the Lord. And then when we listen to pastimes like this of the Lord, when we see this unlimited, unprecedented mercy, then that also brings us so much joy. And, you know, and this, remember, this is the verse that Mukunda Datta was chanting in front of Pundarika Vidyanidhi, that Adi Gadadhar Prabhu had given a class recently, a couple days ago. This is that same verse. So here's another example of devotees who are reveling and enjoying these pastimes of the Lord. It goes going, and here we are again in Kali Yuga again. So by the mercy, you know, of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then we are able, you know, like they say, yada raja tada praja. So as the master, so the servant. So just as Lord Sri Krishna is merciful in such a magnificent, you know, ecstatic way, then we are blessed by having Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most munificent incarnation, displaying even more mercy. Because Purdana was given this because she had a little mood of mother and she gave him some milk. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, you don't have any, no little speck is even necessary. Lord Nityananda was going from house to house asking everybody. You know, Jagan and Madai, they were throwing things at him, beating him, and, you know, all this stuff that's happening. But he said, I know, just chant. So see this unlimited mercy. It's just amazing that in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya has given us this gift. Not only has he, as they say, broken the storehouse and given it freely to everybody, but he has given us the utmost sweetness of the Leelas. Because, you know, when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita and these different verses are highlighted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we go back to the Srimad Bhagavatam and we listen to that, we read those verses and we study those verses, and we can see how these two devotees were enjoying this rasa, enjoying this understanding of meditation, this meditation on the Lord's Leelas. So, you know, and now by the mercy of Lord of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and all this mercy, see how it trickles down. The mercy and, you know, this dedication of all these gurus, the dedication. I mean, think about all the people that have been part of that process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, verse by verse, you know, canto by canto, the purports. You know, and the other thing is, if you think about this, without these purports, we would not actually understand the true essence. You know, we wouldn't understand that Uddhava, you know, Uddhava was silent for a while. We wouldn't know what silent, so what's the big thing about that? But because of Srila Prabhupada's purports, we understand what that silence is. We understand when we see a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, as Srila Prabhupada, going into some kind of a different consciousness. We see that. We can recognize it. So that's what's, you know, it's by this mercy, the translators. Every day I think that, you know, if not, as my Guru Maharaj says, if not for Srila Prabhupada, where would I be? If not for Srila Prabhupada, where would any of us be? So you know, Lord Chaitanya in the Majjhalila, it says, no one, not even Lord Brahma, can ascertain or even taste a drop of this confidential ocean of ecstasy. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, has distributed this love of Godhead all over the world. Thus, there cannot be any incarnation more munificent than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no greater donor who can describe his transcendental qualities. How wonderful, see, how this mood of understanding this mercy, almost in the same tone as the verse that Uddhava chanted, you know. And then, as he said, you know, all of our gurus, you know, how without their mercy, without Srila Prabhupada, you know, where would we all be? So this is the wonderful, you know, understanding of this verse for me. And as I said, you know, in conclusion, I guess I want to say, as we read these verses, as we come in the association of devotees, as we read these verses, we should really, really study those purports. And as we're reading other things, try and, you know, keep in mind and relate them to something else that you've read. You know, and Vaisheshika Prabhu always says that the best way to actually remember these things is by sharing this. And so that's why, you know, I enjoy sharing it. I enjoy sharing it because it reminds me of these things, you know, and I want to share a little bit of an experience. So yesterday, as we were driving to the temple, my husband said, well, what verse do you have? What are you going to speak about? So I was telling him, this is what I'm going to speak about, and I kind of gave him an idea. And I could feel my mood just, you know, just feeling so very happy. And then when I went to the temple and they were doing the chanting, and we were, you know, doing kirtana and something, and I was seeing the deities, I could just feel that mood, you know, that sweetness just filling my heart. And I was thinking, you know, and it doesn't last if we don't stoke it. You know, this fire of Krishna consciousness, we have to keep, you know, giving it water, right? Sravanam kirtanam, right? This we have to, you know, we have to feed a fire to keep it burning. We have to keep this fire of Krishna consciousness burning, and we have to keep feeding it. And we have to keep feeding it with these reading of Srila Prabhupada's book, with our chanting, with our kirtan, with association of devotees. So this is what we get, you know, and I want us to, like I said, understand in conclusion, I keep going back and forth, but in conclusion, this mood of the pure devotee, meditate upon the mood of the pure devotee, really, really pray for the mercy of Krishna, mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mercy of Srila Prabhupada, to clear out all our anarthas so we can also, as we associate with other devotees, be giving more good association by conversing about the Lord, by meditating about the Lord, by sharing stories about the Lord, sharing pastimes, our favorite pastimes, our favorite mood, our favorite, you know, rupa, form. You know, and mine is Sri Sri Radha Giridhari in San Diego, who are the Lord and Lady of my heart, which I love, which I tell you is, he's so beautiful. So, as I said, yesterday's kirtan was extra special because you have so graciously given me the opportunity to delve most deeply into these verses and meditate upon the pastimes of the Lord. So thank you very much. If I made any mistakes, please do correct me. I'm also in the learning stages. But I, like I said, many of what I got a lot of this from Srila Prabhupada's purports. You know, they are wonderful purports. Please, please do study his books. And if there are any questions or comments or corrections, I'm at your service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mata.
If anybody has any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Praneshwari, Lakshmi Mataji. Such a beautiful class. I wish you hadn't stopped. I wish it went on and on. It was so nice. It was so relatable. The guava example that you gave, and the way you were talking about this verse, how Krishna first drank the milk and then the poison. And such lovely insights. I think it really prepares our mind and our heart to take in more and more of this special gift of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Your experience, everything. The class was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. It had a very personal touch. Felt so nice and so good listening to this class. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking us deep into the subject. And thank you for taking up. Actually, this is so sweet. So the more you were talking, it became sweeter and sweeter. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Preeti Virasni. And, you know, like I said, thank you. You know, I will share one little thing, is that I was actually thinking a couple of weeks ago, you know, I need to give a class or something, because, you know, I'm just reading so much, but it's almost like you're so full that you just have to tell somebody. It's like you got a secret. And, you know, people say, don't tell a secret. Well, when somebody says, don't tell somebody, that's the first thing you want to tell them, right? And so it's like that, you know. Promise you won't tell anybody. You're like, yeah. But the minute they tell you, like, no, I got to tell. Oh, my God, I can't keep this secret. So it was like that. I just need it. And, you know, to me, these little things, I thought, you know, that is mercy, you know. And like I said, because with you I feel very comfortable, and I'm like, you know, I don't feel like I'm talking from, like, I'm like I know everything. I feel very comfortable, like I'm talking to my friends, and that I can, you know, say a little bit of my realizations and a little bit of things that I've read, and I like when then you can tell me back and say, well, no, this is what I thought, this is how it should be. That it just really helps me develop my Krishna consciousness. So that is the mercy of, you know, like I said, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving me this mercy by letting me share. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Pani Lakshmi Mataji. Very, very nice, very nectarian class. Well, it wasn't class, it was just a nectar. Very, I like Priti Vilasin Pataji say, I thought you would go on, but you just stopped. Thank you, very, very nice. You should give more nectar more many times. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Gaur Modiki Mataji. Please bless me that I stay focused and I don't get distracted. That is my biggest fear, complacency. So please, please bless me to stay focused. Thank you, Mataji.
You focus continuously on the God. So your Guru Maharaj has given you very much mercy. And so you have the mercy of all devotees also. Hare Krishna.
And, you know, it's interesting that actually when Guru Maharaj is giving classes right in the morning, and he's actually talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's going into this mood of exhibiting all these different ecstatic symptoms. Yeah, and so it's really, really wonderful seeing how everything comes together, you know, and Guru Maharaj explained it. So it's just very, very sweet to go from that class to this class and just kind of keep myself inundated in this ocean.
Yeah. Nice that you're hearing Guru Maharaj's class, and then it just, you know, you can give it out. You're not keeping it yourself. So then it increases more. It's very nice.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for beautiful katha.
Does anybody have any more questions or comments, or we can end the call here? Thank you so much, Mataji, for a very enlightening class, and we're really grateful to you. We look forward for more association with you in the future. So if nobody have any questions, we can end the call here. Vancha kalpatarup jascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Her Grace Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji ki jai.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Praneshwari Lakshmi Mataji, Hare Krishna. Thank you.